Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron is off at a karate tournament with his son, wishing the young man all the best.
And I'm wishing on a star.
She's Jean Marie.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. And today's show, we are speaking with Kathy. Kathy is actually a good friend of mine. I met Kathy 20 years ago?
I don't know.
Is that right?
See, I think
probably more.
I just guessed. When I changed careers and went for my first recreational therapy degree. Kathy, first, please tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself.
Hi, I'm Kathy, and I am also in therapeutic recreation. I work at a park district, and I work with special needs population, and I absolutely love it. I've been there for 20 years, and I have 4 children and 4 grandchildren, and I love them all.
Aww,
super.
That's awesome.
Super.
We're very happy to have Kathy joining us today.
Absolutely.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Kathy, I understand that you're here today to talk about a few of the potential complications for diabetes. Could you start us off first by telling us what is diabetes?
There's several different types of diabetes. If you have type 1, you probably got it as a juvenile.
Okay.
If you have type 2, which is the type that I have, that used to be called adult onset or over 40 onset, diabetes, that's the type that I have.
Okay.
So that one means that my body produces insulin, but it does not produce enough insulin to take care of the sugar that your food makes.
Okay. And it's, there's a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to diabetes.
Yes.
And I know I've seen very insensitive jokes online about, like, you know, why did you get diabetes? And there's an empty donut box or something, inferring that you get diabetes by consuming great quantities of sugar, and that's not really the case. And diabetes is a very, very complicated.
Right, right. Kathy, what does the CDC say about diabetes?
According to the CDC, diabetes occurs when your body does not properly produce food for the use of energy. Most of the food we eat turns into glucose or sugar, for which our body uses to make energy.
Okay.
The pancreas, an organ that lies near the stomach, makes a hormone called insulin to help glucose get into the cells of our body. Unfortunately, if you have diabetes, your body either doesn't make enough insulin or can't use its own insulin as well as it should. There are several different forms of diabetes. Diabetes can cause serious health complications, including heart disease, blindness, kidney failure, lower extremity amputations, a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It is the 7th leading cause of death in the United States.
That's rough. And, you know, I'm kind of weird, and I like etymology, and I looked up where the term diabetes comes from, because I really had no clue.
Uh-huh.
And it means to pass, and it referred to urine and how frequently diabetics were having to urinate. They had to go to the bathroom like all the time.
Oh.
And that's where that term comes from.
Oh,
yeah.
Didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying that you have type 2
yes,
diabetes.
That's correct.
And when did you first learn about this, and what symptoms led you to the doctor?
Unfortunately, with diabetes, you don't always know that you have it. In fact, most of the time you don't.
Okay.
So I was going to the doctor for regular checkups, and I had gotten put on a high blood pressure medication. I do end up getting some weird side effects from some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing a lot of urinating. And when I went in and asked him about it, he said, no, that's not something that would be happening from your high blood pressure medication.
Okay.
And he did some blood work. And lo and behold, I was diabetic.
Okay.
So how long did it take them to figure this out? I mean, like, did you notice it and you went to the doctor right away? Was it caught pretty quickly?
No, I actually had been on this high blood pressure medication, and I would go in, I believe, like every 3 months or so, just for a check to make sure everything was going okay. So I'm not sure how long I had diabetes before I actually realized I had it before it was diagnosed.
Okay.
But the only symptom that you had that you noticed was the excessive urination.
And excessive thirst, which I am a large drinker of water.
Mm-hmm.
And diet soda anyway, so that didn't really make a difference for me, but it was the frequent urination.
Okay. And yeah, I think that might be a good thing to watch. And then you said that because you have type 2, is there a specific treatment for this, for type 2 diabetes? And what do they do as far as, you know, like, do they prescribe insulin? And then do you have to check your blood glucose and things of that nature?
When I first started out, I was told to change my diet.
Okay.
And I was told not to eat any fat. And so... So eat lean meat,
okay.
Eat lean chicken, eat lean turkey, that type, lots of vegetables. So I went on a zero fat diet, which is what I thought the doctor wanted.
Oh.
He said, don't eat fat.
Yeah.
And then I come back to the doctor and said, I am craving food. I don't know what to do.
And you don't feel full.
No, and I didn't feel
right.
full. So he said, go home, take a spoonful of peanut butter and see if that makes a difference. And that kind of opened the floodgates. When I did that, I just ate everything in sight. That wasn't moving.
Because, your body wants that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and he said usually when he tells someone not to eat a lot of fat or cut down on it, they cut down on it. He never expected me to just stop eating fat.
Okay.
That wasn't a good thing to do.
Well, you took him very seriously.
Right, right.
So excessives don't do that.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, everything in balance.
And then was there any other information that they gave you when you were first diagnosed that you had to do differently besides the diet change?
Not to start with. Then I got put on oral medication.
Okay.
And for a long time that worked. Mm-hmm. But as with everything, oral medication will work for so long and then it usually stops working. I also had some problems with some of the oral medication they gave me, and some people do, some people don't.
Okay.
I got some, bad side effects that I didn't like and I couldn't cope with because I was still working. So I, so then at some point I got put on an evening insulin, which was a 24-hour insulin that was working for a while, and then I needed to add some extra.
Okay, so it was like a delayed release?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But the new insulin that I got put on, that was a with mealtime.
Okay.
Do you have to check your blood glucose at all?
Yes.
On your own?
Yes. I check it before each meal. That determines the amount of insulin I get with a meal. And then I check it before I go to bed at night. And that tells the doctor how my insulin has worked.
Do you have to adjust your diet at the time that you're checking this, or is that just telling you that you have to do a different type of an insulin? Do you have to do insulin shots, or how does that, so you check your level and then what is the result of that check? So let's say you checked it and it's high, or checked it and it's low. What does that do for you?
I have a scale that I use. So I get with my mealtime insulin, I get so much insulin for breakfast, and then I have a corrective scale that either goes up or down with the extra or no extra or taking away insulin, depending on what my sugar shows up as.
Okay.
Okay.
I am also supposed to be doing a better job of watching what I eat, and I'm not so terrific on that. And it does make a difference, the type of food that you eat. So the more carbohydrates you eat can cause your sugar to spike a lot faster. Definitely if you eat a lot of sweets, junk food, that type of thing,
sure.
It turns into sugar very quickly. That causes a problem.
But it doesn't mean that you have to eliminate that completely from your diet.
No, it does not mean that.
Okay.
It means you have to be, you have to watch the amount that you eat.
Okay. All right. So you can have birthday cake. You just take that into account and adjust things accordingly, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm very careful about, for instance, like birthday cake, I may eat the cake, but I may not eat the frosting.
Sure.
Because the frosting is
nothing but sugar.
Sure.
It's nothing but sugar. That's
sugar,
correct.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
So, and sugar is not the only thing that you eat. I notice that when I eat, I really like mustacholi.
Uh-huh.
I love it. And when I eat mustacholi, it spikes my sugar. So there again,
it's pasta, huh?
Yeah, it's pasta. And there again, it's, or lots of breads.
Okay.
It's that carbohydrates that really can shoot your sugar up.
I wonder if different carbohydrates would affect you differently. Like if you had quinoa pasta instead of a whole wheat
or
semolina pasta, if that would affect things differently. I don't know.
Yes, it does. And that's actually a very good comment to make. The type of carbohydrates you eat does make a difference.
Okay.
And so anything that's white flour, that type of thing, or white wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the same thing, white flour.
Yeah.
Whole wheat, rye, those type of things, right, are...
those things will cause your sugar to spike a lot faster than some of the grains.
Okay. Like the ancient grains.
Yes, those are a lot better for you.
So obviously, this goes to show why our ancestors were healthier than us. We changed over to this. Okay, I'm not going to give any more advice. All right.
Yeah.
I'm quiet.
Once again, what is rule number one?
Okay.
Rule number one is don't get sued.
Okay.
And Kathy, I understand that you've had two very serious complications as a result of the diabetes. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
The first complication I had was with my eyes. I was, they call them diabetic eyes. There's a medical term for it, but basically what that is you, your eyes start to bleed. And from the back. So you
know, it's not like Ebola where they're bleeding.
Okay. Picturing that happening. I'm like, whoa.
I'm sorry. Nobody can see it.
Okay.
I can see it through the back, but I can't, but you can't see it, you know, like looking at me. You would never know.
So like when you're looking out, you can actually see blood. You're like looking through blood.
Yes and no.
Isn't the vision obscured? Is that what it is?
Yeah, well, you start out with it. It's not instantly happens that way, but what you're starting out with is a lot of floaters.
Okay.
Not to say that all floaters are from that reason.
Right.
But that's what some of them can be from.
Okay.
And then your eyes can be blurry.
Okay.
When I went to an eye doctor because I had an abrasion on my cornea. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, you've got some problems with your eyes. You need to go to a specialist and have your eyes looked at. That's how that kind of all happened.
Okay. So it's a good thing you went in.
Yes, it was a really good thing. Well, it was a good thing, I guess, I had the abrasion on my eye.
Yeah.
I went to an eye specialist that she specializes in all different types of, I don't know, creepy things with your eyes. I don't know what to call it.
But yeah, we've had a couple on the show.
Okay, and so she started out with both of my eyes were bleeding from the back. She did laser treatments, and the first laser treatments, believe it or not, did not hurt at all, didn't hardly even feel them. After that, your eyes get very sensitive, and I did not know that.
Oh, okay.
And I thought after a certain amount of time, you wouldn't feel it anymore, and your eyes don't forget.
Oh.
So it you do. So anyway, she was using the laser treatments to try to seal off those little bleeders.
Okay.
My right eye got so bad that I ended up having to have the gel removed from my eyeball. They don't take all the gel out, but they do take some of it out so that you don't get, I think it's arteries that grow that aren't really arteries, but that gel supports that little growth thing, and those things pop and bleed because they don't belong there.
Okay.
So once they take that gel out, then there's nothing there for it to be supported by, and then your eye shouldn't bleed any longer.
Okay.
That being said, they don't take all the gel out.
Mm-hmm.
And once you hit a certain age, like I'm an older person, that gel...
You're not older. Jeez. Okay.
Okay. Once you get to be older, the gel separates.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, it's probably a little older than that, but the gel separates from your... I don't know, from your eye, or in your eye, and you don't really use it anyway, so it's not something...
But doesn't it keep your eyeball, like, like the globe shape?
Yeah, I think
You need that stuff in there?
They don't take it all out.
Okay.
They take enough of it out that there's no support for those little things to bleed.
All right, okay.
So, because I was concerned about that, too. That
sure.
was my first thing.
Sure.
If it wasn't meant to be, why is there gel in my eye?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, and I have to say... I was scared out of my mind.
I would have been too. Did you have support?
From whom?
I don't know. Relatives, friends.
Oh, my family, yes.
Okay. I'm
I thought you meant support for my eye.
No.
I was curious about that too.
A crutch,
like,
a sling.
Something else.
I was
Is it like testicular cancer where they pop something in there? Yeah, I'm sorry.
So
what?
You have to have somebody drive because give you a shot in your eye, which sounds icky, but I'll tell you, they numb it. You don't feel it. It's a very strange sensation.
But you see them coming at you?
Are you asleep?
No, they don't. No, you have to be awake.
Gotta be awake.
Because they have to have access to your eye. It can't be up in your head.
Okay.
So, but you don't, as scary as it sounds, it really is not. And I'm a little squeamish, and I did fine.
Okay.
That's good.
The biggest problem I had is the eye doctor kept leaning on my nose.
Oh!
And that kind of didn't feel comfortable.
No, right. Could you tell him?
Yeah, she did. She got off.
Okay,
So she was talking to me through the whole through the whole thing.
I can't breathe.
What the problem is that when they give you a shot in your eye and they're numbing it, mm-hmm. it causes your eye not to be able to focus. You can't you can't like line your eye up. So you see you can see one eye sees straight ahead, the other eye will see to the right or to the left, whichever.
Do they cover the alternate eye?
Yes. After surgery, they cover your other eye because your eyes work together.
Right.
And they don't want that eye that just had surgery on it moving around.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's covered for a while.
Okay.
And I honestly, it might have been a day, it might have been a couple of days, I'm not sure. Somebody has to drive you home because you can't, even if
you drive with your eyes closed.
Well, yeah, but you even if you took the patches off, you can't line your eyes up.
Yeah.
So you can't drive. You would end up hitting somebody.
Right, okay. Right.
At any rate, it worked out pretty well. I had an incident after that where my eye just started bleeding that I had the surgery on. But it stopped and it cleared up. And she said, that is not necessarily a problem. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. So it just cleared itself up.
Okay.
And this was all in an effort to preserve your vision.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes. The other thing that happens is when they do the surgery, it can cause cataracts to grow very, very quickly.
Oh, so you got to watch for that.
Yes, but she told me that afterwards because that
what difference does it make?
Because
it's a side effect.
Because it really would have upset me to know ahead of time. So I was glad I didn't know.
Yeah, right, right, right.
So
do you have your eyes checked for cataracts on a regular basis?
Yes.
More regular,
have to go in every 6 months to have my eyes checked. They check for, you know, bleeding. They check for cataracts. They check for any other problems. You're at higher risk for glaucoma, those type of things.
Okay.
So I get checked. My left eye has not had the gel taken out of.
Okay.
I do get some floaters in it.
But they watch it and they let you know if you need
yes.
it.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I had laser surgery again, but I hope to never have that again.
Okay.
Not to say you shouldn't have it done, but it's just my eyes are very... Sensitive now.
Okay.
Is there an eye drop or something that they can give you, or have they given you that for like pain relief?
No, they give you a shot in your eye. Well, they give you what they give you. Wait a minute. It's in your under your eyelid.
Mm-hmm.
They put it down in there and they can numb it.
Okay.
And then you just feel pressure and you don't feel any pain. It's very weird.
Okay.
But it's okay. It works.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and it's better than being blind because that's the end result if you don't take care of your eyes with diabetes.
Right. Okay.
Well, I didn't realize that your eyes could be affected by diabetes.
Right.
And I know that the opposite end of your body can be affected. I've heard of amputations quite a bit, and I hear that you've also had a problem with that.
Yes. Diabetics tend to get infections on their feet very easily. I have neuropathy, which means that I either don't feel anything on the bottom of my feet or I get like a burning sensation or a lot of pain. I have a very high pain tolerance, so I really don't feel a lot of anything. The problem with that is if you cut your foot, because of the sugar in your bloodstream, whatever injuries do not heal very quickly, and that can cause a problem. So, and it also means you shouldn't be fooling around with your feet, let your foot doctor cut your nails and such. So I had a bad callus on my foot, and I peeled it off thinking, oh, I can do this.
Right.
And then I took one of those things that are like a sander for your feet.
Well, are you talking like a Dremel?
No.
It's made for the feet.
For the feet.
Okay, got it.
However, because I don't feel things very well, I sanded down what I thought was
callus,
and it ended up being I sanded off skin.
Oh.
So
live skin.
Mm. Then I caused an infection.
Sure.
And me being stubborn, I decided that I could take care of this myself. And I tried to like soak my foot in Epsom salts and clean it and bathe it and bandage it and all those things.
Yeah.
And I let it go so long that I ended up getting a really good infection that went into the foot, into the first metatarsal, which is your baby toe and this bone underneath it. And actually, it hit the second bone too, but it wasn't so bad, and they could save that.
Okay.
Otherwise, I would have lost two toes and two bones.
Okay.
And so they had to amputate that and clean out all the infection. And so the moral of the story of all of this is don't self-medicate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you don't fool around with your feet or anything else if you have an infection.
Right.
And by the way, diabetes can affect every single thing in your body.
Wow.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think that diabetes is a, you know, walk in the park, because it's not.
Right.
It's really important to take care of yourself and take your meds and do what you're supposed to do.
Okay.
And I learned a very valuable lesson.
Yeah.
So I guess that what you just summed up was that this diagnosis has affected your day-to-day life. And yeah. You're now living completely differently than you did before diabetes.
Yes, I used to absolutely love to run around barefoot.
Barefoot, uh-huh.
I cannot wear sandals, open-toe sandals. I have to wear special diabetic shoes. I have the little foot things in there to keep my feet from rubbing or getting sores. I absolutely have to wear socks, and I wear white socks so I don't get any dye into my feet.
That's why wow. I know I've seen white socks and yeah. it, you know, at the yes. drugstores, and it says diabetic socks. I'm right. like, can't every sock be a diabetic sock? So okay. it has to be white because of the dye.
Yes, okay. you won't get dye in your feet, and you don't want to get, if you have an infect, I mean, if you have an opening, you definitely don't want dye in that sore because it will cause more infection.
Right.
I make sure that I check my feet every night. I have to make sure that when I take a shower bath that I'm really drying my feet off and mm-hmm. I'm not leaving, you know, damp areas. I don't want to get foot fungus on mm-hmm. them
sure.
because I'm way more apt to get that. Mm-hmm. I make sure that I put lotion on my feet so that I don't get dry skin, especially in the winter, and get an infection
sure.
on my feet.
Right.
Those type
yeah,
of things.
Yeah, if you get dry feet and then they crack and
right.
then, yeah.
Okay.
And so it also affects your little toe is not as bad as losing your big toe or all your toes,
right.
but it still affects your balance. And I am having a very difficult time with balance. In fact, Jean just gave me some
tracking poles
to help me with
things.
Walking, and I'm so excited. I can't wait to try these. But yes, it has really affected my abilities. I said at the beginning that I worked for a park district, and mm-hmm. I used to go out on Saturdays with my group. I no longer do that because I don't have the ability to walk as much as I had been.
Okay.
I'm a little unstable, and if one of my participants takes off running, mm-hmm. I can stand there and
do?
Watch
right,
them.
Right.
I can't run after them.
Okay.
So as active as I used to be, I am not as active. I have trouble with stairs.
A lot has changed for you.
A lot
when,
has changed.
When did you actually have this amputation?
March. This past March.
Okay, oh, wow. so it's, okay. it has not been a year yet.
No.
Okay.
And have you found, do you use mirrors at all to check the bottoms of your feet and your feet? And have you found that that helps at all?
You could do that. Okay. I just asked my daughter, Becky,
oh, there you go.
to
there
look
you
at the bottom of my feet.
Well,
yeah,
it's, good to have, yeah. it's good to have family support.
Yeah. And yes, I guess now so. With an iPhone and everything, you could or smartphones, you can videotape the bottom. I mean, this is odd, but you can videotape the bottom of your feet or take photos so you can compare and see if there's any changes, you know.
And actually, that's funny because I do take pictures of the bottom of my feet sometimes if I think there's
right,
a
right,
problem.
Right.
Yeah,
I do that when
in.
I think I get a splinter or something.
Yeah, you can zoom in.
Because then you
yes.
can zoom.
Yes. So. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll show you how.
Yeah.
At any rate, I do.
She also takes pictures of labels on things and zooms in when she forgets her glasses. But
well,
that's
yeah. You know, like you go to the little fine print on medicine bottles.
Oh, that's awful.
Or even on
so
some of the...
if you take a photo, then you can zoom in and
right,
read it.
Right,
you know?
Oh, and talking about that, actually, you also lose the ability to see colors.
Oh.
So
oh,
I am having a problem with, I don't night drive anymore.
Okay.
Because my eyes don't switch fast enough between the light and the dark.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I also don't, I used to work in a flower shop and I don't think I could do that anymore
okay.
because I can't see, I can see like if it's green or if it's pink,
mm-hmm.
I'm not colorblind, but if it's a group of like pink, orange, and light red, I can't tell which is what.
Wow.
I also can't see like black, smoke and dark green or
okay.
navy blue.
Okay.
I don't buy navy blue pants because I have to wear black at work and I can't see the difference between
oh,
navy blue
sure,
and black.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Oh.
There are settings for your smartphone. So, and it'll tell you like if you have problems seeing these particular colors, which I guess you wouldn't see them, then it can change your smartphone settings so you can see everything a little bit clearer.
Oh, I didn't
it's
know
It's an
that.
Accommodation.
Right.
But I can tell that it's dark. I just
right.
can't tell what it is.
Sure.
So I can see when I'm driving, I can see the red, yellow, and green. I'm
mm-hmm.
not colorblind
right.
like that.
Right.
But this is all related to diabetes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
surprising.
Yeah.
Kathy, how can our listeners learn more about diabetes?
Obviously from your doctor. Like I said, you will end up having a class if you are diagnosed with diabetes. And I did not go to the class and should have. And after I had my toe amputated, I went to a class.
Good okay. for you.
But for additional information, here in the United States, we have the American Diabetes Association.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Outside of the U.S., There is the International Diabetes Foundation, which represents 69 national diabetes organizations, as well as 44 countries across Europe.
Oh, very cool.
That's cool. Yeah, that's a big bunch. I will make sure to put links for all of those on our website for the American Diabetes Association and that international site. Thank you, Kathy. We really enjoyed talking with you today.
Yes, thank you, Kathy, for being here. We really appreciated having you and your daughter, Becky, with us. You guys have been a fountain of information, and I think you're going to help a lot of people out there.
Well, I hope so, because I made some major mistakes that maybe I can hope that somebody doesn't repeat. And thank you for inviting me. This has been enjoyable.
That's the goal, to help others.
Yep.
If you or our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, you can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review on wherever you get your podcast. And as always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.